very, very dangerous man. Certain guys are still trying to find their way, and it's kind of inexplicable.
Buccaneers fans, it's that time again where you get to sit down with the mighty sage of Tampa Bay sports. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford, starring the king of Pasco County, the baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. Sage, we got news, we got action, but first, I know you've had a very busy week. You got family in town, you've been all over town working your magic. How are you, Ira?
I'm feeling chipper. Look, my San Fran Giants held off the Dodgers. They're in the postseason. They might end up playing the Dodgers again. We'll see what happens. I'm happy about that. Got my son here this week. He might buy a truck from Bill Curry Ford. And most importantly, I think the Bucs are in pretty good shape. And I don't mean to disparage these injuries that they're getting, but a couple of points. And I mentioned this to Arians on Monday. They haven't played a complete game, and they're 3-1. They really haven't played that well. They're 3-1. That leaves them in good stead. I'm looking at the next 4 or 5 weeks, Lee. This is not exactly a gauntlet that they're facing. Look at the quarterbacks, starting with Jacoby Brissett. It doesn't even get much better than that in the following weeks. They go to Philadelphia. They're up and down. I know they scored 30 on the Chiefs, but the Chiefs don't have any defense, and the Bucs do. You know, the Bears, Lee, they're going to play the Jets, the Giants at the end of the season. Lee, I can just see this team gearing it up in late November, December, getting the injured guys back, and making another run as long as number 12's upright. I don't think the Bucs are in bad shape at all, Lee.
I mean, you make a very, very interesting point. The Bucs haven't played a complete game. You know, they've looked sensational in certain areas, but less so in other areas, even though they look dynamite. You know, like when they racked up all the points against the Cowboys, that was a nail-biter. The defense was getting shredded. Even though they're 3-1, they haven't played a complete game. And the more I think about that, although it was very briefly because you just brought that point, was the New England game the most complete game?
Well, it probably was, Lee, but I don't think New England's very good, Lee. I thought Mac Jones played well. Chris Russo went crazy today when we did the show. He thought Collinsworth was way over the top in praising Mac Jones. He said, the guy had 17 points. What are we doing? We're not going nuts here. But, I just don't think New England had any weapons to really test the Bucs. I will say this, Lee. I'm a little concerned about the 73% completion percentage against the Bucs. Guys, that's a terrible number. I mean, I don't care how you want to slice it, that the guy was only throwing 3-yard passes.
Ira, I'm in a cranky, cranky mood, Ira. I'm very cranky, and I'm about to explode here, Sage. But first, I want to tell everybody, you got to get to BillCurryFord.com. That's how you start to shop for a vehicle in Tampa. It doesn't matter if it's a Mustang Roush or a Ford F-150, or a used vehicle. That's what you do, and then you call Sean Sullivan, the GM. He's going to help you personally. He's going to cut you the Ira Kaufman discount, and that's how you do it. And their family over there, 61 years in Tampa, they take care of everybody. It doesn't matter if you're Ira's friend or not. Bottom line is, Bill Curry Ford, whatever you need, Sean Sullivan's going to make it happen for you. That's how it works. Call them up, step in to the dealership a mile north of Raymond James Stadium, enjoy the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles, or just go to BillCurryFord.com. You can easily find Sean's email address and send him a note. Tell him what you need, what you want to accomplish, and he'll just give you great advice. BillCurryFord.com. Ira, you're basically telling me I should do jumping jacks because the Bucs aren't playing well and they're still winning. I can't do that, Ira. I can't just watch them sort of have these deficiencies over and over and start doing jumping jacks. I want to see the team that walked off the field for the Super Bowl. I want to see some of the players who walked off that field play like they did in the Super Bowl or in the run. Some of the guys on defense, Devin White, some other players. You know, I want to see something better. I got a higher standard, so I just can't go there. I don't feel comfortable feeling good about what I'm seeing. I'm so glad they won, and it was a strange, weird, emotional, oddball game. But the one reason, Ira, and one thing you have to explain to me, Lee, I need some clarification from you here because it's been driving me bananas all week. So everybody except me is saying that Richard Sherman played so well, yet who is he covering? And they're playing this soft zone all the time to sort of not force him into man coverage. And I'm not sure who he was covering of any quality. It's not a good offense for New England, like you said, Ira. And this is where I'm confused, Sage. 2 weeks ago, we listened to Bruce Arians tell everybody that Dee Delaney played well. He played well. Dee Delaney at cornerback came in. He played well. Oh, I was so proud of Dee Delaney. The guy didn't take one defensive snap the other night, and Richard Sherman, his tongue is dragging on the floor. He can't breathe in the fourth quarter. He has no gas left in the tank. They're targeting him. They're throwing balls in front of him all night long. What is this? Coach speak on Dee Delaney? What's going on here?
You know, this is year three with Bruce Arians and the risk it and the biscuit and the quarterback whisper. Lee, what have we learned? We've learned not to take him too seriously. Lee, not to take him too literally. He's usually not going to throw a guy under the bus. He just doesn't do that. If he does it, he's going to do it for effect, and he's going to do it with somebody that he feels can take it. You know, like a Shaq Barrett, you know, like he said a week ago, I'm waiting for Shaq Barrett to come around. Well, he's not going to say that with Dee Delaney. He doesn't want to destroy the guy's confidence. Look, Steve makes some good points, but I'll say this. Two areas of the team that I think showed some encouragement against the Pats are the pass rush. Thank you, Mr. Tryon. And I thought Shaq Barrett played a decent game. Probably should have been credited with a forced fumble. Yes, gentlemen, that was a fumble. I'm with Arians. I don't even understand what a fumble is. And Lee, I'm afraid to bring this up in front of you. I'm afraid. But I'll say it. The running game looked a lot better. Fournette was effective. Lee, as long as he's effective, you don't have a problem with him toting the football.
Oh, no, not at all. You know, I'm all about production. To add to what you said about Fournette, that was the first time, although he blew a gimme of a pass, that was the first time he was a weapon in the passing game. You know, he ran down the sideline for, what, about 20 yards, caught a pass, and then he drew an interference call. That was the first time he was a weapon. Of course, I think we know, we should know by now, he can't catch a ball in the flat. He can't catch the ball in the flat, man. It's a guaranteed fumble. It's guaranteed interception. Guaranteed ball. He just can't do it. I was impressed, more so than any of the other games, because the Bucs clearly didn't play their best. They clearly were not at their full strength. They were going up against a mastermind who knew Brady like the back of his hand, and they found a way to win. It was ugly. It was gritty. Was not pretty in any way, shape, or form. Yeah, you could say maybe the Patriots choked, but the Bucs found a way to win. They hung in there. They were playing with a bunch of nobodies outside of Sherman, who's an old man, and in the defense. I mean, they're playing with a bottle of cologne in the backfield there. The air just higher. I mean, the first time I heard his name, I thought it was perfume, honest to goodness. And, so they're playing with a bunch of nobodies, an old man in the backfield who's practiced all of three practices in the past year. And they somehow won. And that impressed me, because if you can pull that off when maybe you shouldn't have won, and maybe any other team you played, you would have gotten beaten. A W is a W. And here's a stat for you, Ira. Belichick at home in New England, when leading at halftime, entering Sunday's game was 109-2.
Beautiful, Lee. Beautiful. And Steve, one more point, Steve, that I think you'd have to acknowledge is the Bucs just won a road game on a night that Tom Brady wasn't very sharp. Steve, Brady was not the deciding factor in that game, yet they won a game on the road against, not a terrible team, a mediocre, 8-win New England team, 7-10, 8-9. But Steve, Brady did not lead the way, so in that way, you can say it was a good night.
Well, I think you're giving New England a lot of credit, Ira. They're 1-3, and in your mind, they're going to have this roaring comeback to play 500 or better football. I'm not sure they have that in them, Ira.
I'm giving Belichick credit, not so much the Patriots.
And, well, then here's another one for the BS meter, Ira. Arians was on SiriusXM NFL Radio on Wednesday night, and Bill Polian was the co-host, and, of course, they're old buddies. Arians calls him coach, and they're clearly have tremendous respect for each other and trust each other and all that. And Polian asked him, look, what did you see from Bill in the game, from the defenses and different looks and what stood out to you? And, you know, just the X's and O's of, hey, you know, going up against Belichick. You know what Arians says? He said, I didn't see anything different than when we had played them for the last 10 years. Nothing. And frankly,
yeah, I believe that.
And frankly, during the game, I don't recall a bunch of things outlined on the TV that, hey, this is a unique defense. Yes, Arians said once they double-teamed tight end Cody McElroy in the red zone, which surprised them, but that's not necessarily some sort of new defense. That's just them choosing to double-team a tight end, and they didn't care who the hell it was. But I didn't even see mastermindness from Bill Belichick in that game. I just saw him do what other teams have done, which is say, the hell with the run game. Let's pass against the Bucs because they don't know how to stop it. I'd really like to see them fix it, Ira. Like you said, that 73% completion rate, it's got to go. And if Levante David doesn't jump up and knock down that dump-off pass to a wide-open receiver, why the guy is wide open on 3rd-and-3 on the biggest play of the game with a minute left, that's a whole nother story. But if he doesn't tip that ball, then the Bucs probably lose this game. I want to see better, Ira. I got that Super Bowl mindset. I got that. I'm expecting greatness here. I know the schedule is easy and they got time to fix things, but man, I want to see better. You know, I want to see better.
Steve, I understand your point, and certain guys are still trying to find their way, and it's kind of inexplicable because I'm not talking about Joe Tryon, you know, a rookie who didn't even play college ball last year. Steve mentioned Devin White. He's right. Tristan Wirfs isn't playing as well as he did in 2020. He's not playing badly, but he's not playing as well, you know. And we've talked about Shaq Barrett. Yeah, there's certain guys that are still trying to reach a certain level. Now, Lee, flip the script and let's look at the Buck offense for a second. Lee, there were some key dropped balls. There was a terrible holding call on Donovan Smith that wiped out a big game, Lee. Big one. Drop balls. And, Lee, let's be honest, there were some poor passes thrown by Tom Brady. So I think that's going to be an outlier, Lee. Brady's this, Brady's that, but he's also human, Lee. He's human. The emotions got to him. They did. And I don't blame him. I really don't blame him. And I know, you know, you and I don't want to talk too much about the dynamics of the Belichick, and I don't want to talk about it either. But Brady was off, Lee. Brady was off right from the start. And, you know, here comes the Dolphins as a tonic. And I'll say this to Steve's point. In my weekly podcast with Derek Brooks, looking ahead to the Miami game, and Brooks doesn't talk about this very often, he said, you know what? I want to see style points. I don't want to see 20-17 over the Miami Dolphins. I want to see a complete game. I want to see a convincing victory. And for Brooks, style points count now because the Bucs haven't accumulated very many through the first month of the season.
Outside of one possession, did you hear Chris Godwin's name? Outside of him saying, hey, I'm from Penn State, you know, early in the game. Outside of one possession, oddly enough, when the Bucs went to a hurry-up offense, Godwin was taken out of that game. So he had no Gronkowski. Godwin was fouled with somehow, some way. They took out Godwin. So there's an example of, yeah, Belichick was doing the same old stuff he's been doing for 10 years, and it was obvious he took out Godwin.
Did take out Godwin, and the cornerbacks on the Patriots can cover. There's certainly better cover guys than we have available right now. But bottom line is, like Ira said, there were some huge drops in the game, and they played it out, as Arians sort of said himself on SiriusXM, is they let Antonio Brown be the guy who was going to have a big game, and he should have had 150 yards, according to Arians. You know, the 142-yarder he caught got called back because of hands to the face to Donovan Smith, and there were a couple other plays. Another one was called back. So, I mean, I think Belichick taking out one guy in this game, it's the whole reason we love the Bucs offense, because, okay, take out one guy, there's two, three, four more. And they just didn't really capitalize some of these easy plays. I'll give a plug to Sean Sullivan on the Best in Class podcast, which he hosts at joebucksfan.com. He sort of outlined those drops, and Mike Evans on a slant that should have been a touchdown, and that ball, key ball to Brate that just was right there and he couldn't squeeze it. It was just a rough night for the Bucs receivers, and I liked how Arians didn't give any excuses. He was like, hey, the gloves today are better than ever before. The rain really wasn't that bad as it looked on TV. Got to catch the ball, and obviously the Patriots caught every other thing thrown their way. So
I'm not sure if it was you, Lee, but somebody said it a couple of weeks ago, and you know, I sloughed it off. I didn't believe it. But somebody was trying to say that the best receiver on the Buccaneers is Antonio Brown. And I don't know. I didn't want to believe it. I figure Brown's best years are behind him. But, Lee, you've been watching this guy like I have now for about the last, 10 games. Boy, is he smooth, Lee. Boy, is he smooth.
What, he's 33, is he? I mean, get up there for a receiver, and he's still darn. I mean, the moves he makes. He can make a step or two move that is so darn quick.
You're right. In and out of the breaks. Steve, the guy's a master. He's a mastermind. And I think he was the best receiver in the game for 3, 4, 5 years. And to me, that's a Hall of Famer. And he's in great shape right now. And I don't know. He just might be the best. He might be the best target for Brady right now. He's a very, very dangerous man.
Mike Evans is still the guy who gets the big attention, and Godwin's out there as well, so he's in a perfect situation for himself. And consistently, he's been playing about 50-60% of the snaps, so he gets to be super fresh. And yeah, I mean, it's amazing. The guy looks electric, and like Lee said, 33 years old, and he's obviously comfortable now in the offense. He's just a happy, happy guy. Hopefully he won't throw any furniture around, Ira, and we'll be all set. I have to ask you, Ira, I got to ask you, what...
furniture off a balcony is still a classic.
It is. Ira, what beer were you drinking at Big Storm over the weekend? What's your Big Storm beer of choice now?
Bay beer, my friend. And our friend Todd Wright came by. He asked around and said, and he had his lady friend with him. She got a Bay beer, and he went with the Kolsch. And he thought it was very tasty. Of course, we loved our Bay beer. And next time I'm there, I'll get something else. I want to go through the menu, but Bay beer is tough to beat for me.
Sage, Big Storm beer, that's one of the core beers, Bay beer. And you can see all the core beers at BigStormBrewery.com. Big Storm is now in Publix, major news, for about a month now. Not even. Big Storm beer in Publix. Florida's best craft beer. Check it out. And, of course, many other places you can find it. And you can search through the Storm Tracker at BigStormBrewery.com. Tap rooms in Orlando, right at the Amway Center. Open 7 days. Great place to watch football. And at Clearwater, the flagship location where the Sage watches every road game. Cape Coral and in Odessa. Ira, good news. I got news. Bruce Arians says tonight Rob Gronkowski's punctured lung is, quote, all healed up. The lung is all healed up. He's ready to go from the lung standpoint. And it was a CAT scan and some other higher level tests that had revealed this and the broken ribs. And but he's doing better and he's day to day. Arians characterized him. So I don't want him to rush him back, but it certainly sounds like he will be back in October raring to go. And obviously, a few weeks off with busted ribs means your legs and your knees are all healed up and you're probably in good shape with your back. So it could be some silver lining there.
You made the key point and you didn't even know you made it, which is I wouldn't rush him back. Lee, am I wrong? Do you really rush him back against the Miami Dolphins and the Philadelphia Eagles? No, I'm not doing that.
No, as you pointed out earlier, Ira, the Bucs schedule turns a little soft the next few weeks. I don't want that guy out there. I don't want that guy out there whatsoever until his ribs are 100%. I don't care if he feels a little, a tinge getting up from the throne in the morning. Go have Camille massage you, which is not a bad plan. Just take it easy. Go on vacation for a couple of weeks.
Ira, what do you make of this? Richard Sherman has his own podcast. That's how he announced his signing, as we know. But he was back on his podcast And twice in that podcast, twice, probably the biggest thing that stood out for me, over 15 minutes of him talking about his first game, twice he mentioned that Jordan Whitehead is one of the fastest, he said maybe the fastest safety and hardest hitting safety he's ever played with. He doesn't know of anybody he's played with better than Whitehead, and that the league is going to be talking about Whitehead or should be very soon. And he was just blown away by Whitehead. He didn't mention anybody else. He wasn't calling out everybody else like that. But twice, about 7 minutes apart, Whitehead really made an impression on this guy. And I'm listening to this, and I'm saying, Richard Sherman played with Earl Thomas.
Yes, he did. Steve, I have a simple answer to that. That should go alongside Bruce Arians' comments on Dee Delaney. It's right there, 1 and 1A right there. Come on, Lee, come on. Take it easy with Jordan Whitehead. I mean, the guy's a thumper. You know, he's physical, which is, you know, it's to your advantage, but it's tough to play like that in today's NFL. He's getting better. But this guy played with Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor on the Legion of Doom. Lee, they had the best defense in football for a couple of years. Should have won 2 Super Bowls. You know, I understand Richard Sherman, Lee, wants to lift up a teammate and compliment a teammate. And I don't have a problem with Whitehead, but he's no ball hawk. Mike Edwards has better ball skills than he does. So I say take it with a grain of salt.
He's trying to pump up a teammate, although I do like the thumper aspect. I'm trying to think of a safety out there now that lays the wood like Whitehead has really established for himself the last year or two. I mean, you know, he could always say it, but the last year or two, he's really starting to make a name for himself. It's like, I almost hate comparing him to John Lynch, because John Lynch is in the Hall of Fame, and a lot of things that John Lynch did back then, he couldn't do now.
And Lee, I don't know if you heard a question that I posed to Bruce Arians. I said, basically, like, you know, look, Tryon's got a lot to learn about the nuances of the pro game. But Lee, the mistakes he makes 100 miles an hour. And that's got to be encouraging. Of course, Arian said that's what it's all about. This kid's got an unbelievable future. And, you know, Sean Sullivan's the guy that said the Bucks were going to take Joe Tryon at number 32. He nailed it. Nobody can ever take that away from Sean Sullivan. He must have read Jason Light's mind and knew to try and fit the scheme that Todd Bowles likes to run. And certainly there was a need, maybe for a third edge rusher. Steve, Joe Tryon was very impressive. Yeah, he makes mistakes, over-eager, out of position at times. What look he isn't, but his skills are undeniable.
All the same types of skills we saw in the preseason immediately, except now he's doing it against legitimate NFL players, and his discipline looked a lot better, and that was week 4. So, I mean, man, if he can keep improving a little bit, or, well, crap, if he can just play like he did the Sunday night, I mean, he's going to have a heck of a year. You know, JPP, I'm sure, was watching that saying, oh, man, I got to get back on the field. I can't let this guy steal my snaps. What the hell's going on? JPP must. I mean, if he was mic'd up watching that game, it would have been hilarious to get a piece of that. Ira, I got to ask you this. It's a big picture question, big picture question. And I think it's important on two fronts. But first, I got to tell you, Ira, property managers, contractors, air conditioning repair folks, plumbers, you've got to use Florida's Elite Restoration. That's who you want to connect with when you have customers that have a disaster in their home, or you find mold, or, you know, you put in a new AC system and all of a sudden, whoa, there's some serious issues in the attic. You need someone to call that you can trust, that your customers can trust. That is Florida's Elite Restoration. Owner Josh Martin is ready to work with all kinds of companies, and they work with so many great companies, property managers across the Tampa Bay area. Give them a call, floridaselite restoration.com, and Josh will tell you how they do business, and I think you'll be very, very, very impressed, Ira. We know them as an honest company. Of course, they work with homeowners left and right. 24/7, you can call them if you have a leak. They know how to navigate the insurance company situation, which can be an absolute nightmare mess if you don't have someone watching your back and dealing with them. Josh Martin and his team, Josh himself has 14 years as an insurance adjuster, so he knows it from the other side. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Ira, hopefully nothing's going wrong in Shea Kaufman. The pool's not leaking. No problems there?
I'll tell you what, Steve, there's a lot of crooks out there in that business. There are. And that's why it's so important to have somebody that you can trust. We know Josh Martin. We know the people that work for him. We know people that vouch for the company that have used them extensively on a repeat basis. So it's not like we're just shilling for a company that we don't know anything about. Florida's Elite Restoration is the place to go.
And his wife makes some incredible chicken there, Ira. I know you all know all about that.
And I've already apologized to her, Steve. Already apologized.
Good man. All right. Hey, big picture. Big picture. Two questions for you guys. One, Stephon Gilmore, All-Pro, Defensive Player of the Year 2 years ago. The guy can still play, and he is now a member of the Carolina Panthers. They got him for a sixth-round pick today. The Bucks could have been in on that. We don't know, but they certainly could have used him. Like Lee says, I'd rather have Richard Sherman than Dee Delaney. Well, I'd rather have Stephon Gilmore than some other guys on this team. Ira, I need your opinion on that. Did the Bucks want him? What happened there? But also, Ira and Lee, Carlton Davis, he has not played a full season since he's been in the NFL. Now he's got a serious quad injury. Who knows how long he'll be out? The Bucks have touted him as a top five corner, and his contract is coming due. It's an interesting spot for them. What do you think happens, big picture, with Davis, and does this injury change the way they look at him?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily call him injury prone, Steve. I'm not sure how many games he played last year, maybe 13, maybe 14.
Good one.
And he certainly played down the stretch and played very well. And more importantly, Lee, I don't think there's any question he's their best cornerback. And I got to say 33-year-old Richard Sherman is better going into, 2022. We'll stick with Richard Sherman and we'll let Carlton Davis try free agency. Jamel Dean has plateaued. Lee, he's injury prone. Murphy Bunting is fine, but Davis is better. I don't think you necessarily want to let your top cornerback test the market, because Lee's going to get gobbled up, and it'll happen quickly. It would. And in the words of Joel Glazer, circa 2013, at the March NFL meetings, we've never lost a player through free agency that we wanted to keep. Now, I don't know if he still wants to say that, but he did say that back then. And I think if Carlton Davis leaves during free agency, that would certainly negate that statement. Steve, as far as your first point about Stephon Gilmore, Lee, I got to think there was interest from a Buck perspective. I do. They have a crying need at corner. Lee, it certainly wasn't the compensation, Lee, from an all-in team. They're not going to be too worried about a sixth-round draft pick, Lee. So I think that's no factor. Lee, I got to think it came down to economics. I mean, I'm not sure about the contract that Gilmore has worked out or whatever he said the Panthers are paying him. But, Lee, I got to think with the numbers then add up for the Bucks.
Bingo. You're exactly right about Gilmore. They were a very good chance of landing Gilmore had he been released. You figure the Bucks were talking to his agent because Stephon Gilmore, in the last couple of days, curiously liked Jason Link, or started following Jason Light on Instagram.
Yes.
I don't believe in coincidences. Gilmore's base salary is $6.8 million. The Bucks have right now, per the NFL, right over $3 million in cap space. It's a very shrewd move on the Panthers. Very shrewd. And they're building the hell of a defense.
Yeah.
Would I like to have seen Gilmore? Sure, of course I'd like to see Gilmore. Now, as far as Davis goes, him getting hurt like this is going to drive his price down. So
right. That's
a win-win for the Bucks. I'm sure, Ira, you quoting Joel Glazer is saying we never lost a player we wanted. Somehow, some way, this podcast, a copy of it, is going to find its way to Chris Godwin's agent.
Well said, Lee. Well said. And Steve, for Gilmore, I think Brady gave him the stamp of approval, which is always important.
Yeah.
So, Steve, I think the Bucks wanted Gilmore. I don't think it was a question of kicking the tires and there wasn't a fit there. But what there wasn't a fit was on the financial ledger. That's what I figured had to happen.
Yeah, I don't know, Ira. I don't know. Gilmore had about $5 million left to earn this year because he's you know, spent four games with the Patriots. So he only had $5 million left. And I just think, gosh, you know, they could have found somebody to restructure. Ryan Succop, I'm sure they want him back next year. They could have maybe worked something out with him. Donovan Smith has probably earned a spot for next year. Maybe they tweak his contract a little bit. They already did it with Marpet and Evans. For $5 million, that's not a lot of money for a rental player. And they're all in on these rental players to begin with anyway. I hate that he's in the division. That's just scary because Carolina's defense is good already. And we don't see them till week 16 and week 18. And, man, hopefully the Bucs have clinched by then because you don't want them getting smacked around a little bit. And I'm talking just physically. Doesn't mean they would lose, but smacked around a little bit by a division rival going into the playoffs.
Well, Steve, they landed back to earth last weekend playing against a real offense in Dallas. And Carolina's first three opponents, Steve, I don't think they were particularly potent offensive teams. So let's not go overboard on Carolina's defense. The first three games were very impressive. But it's not like they put the shackles on the Cowboys.
I hear you, Sage. I hear you. Well, Ira, let's head back to the defense a little bit. They did improve to 20th in the NFL. It probably was their best performance in a lot of ways. But can you take any big heroic takeaway? I mean, is it just the revival of the pass rush? Did the historic run defense, negative 1 yards allowed, did that do anything for you on a new level? You know, obviously they've been great for a while. Was there one big defensive takeaway that you had?
I'll give you a takeaway, and Buck fans aren't going to like it, Lee. But on a night when the pass rush was pretty darn good, not spectacular, but much better than the first 3 weeks, Lee, on that same night, rookie quarterback reeled off 19 straight completions. Lee, that's not really acceptable. It's really not.
That's true.
This is not Justin Herbert. You know, Mac Jones will have a nice career. This is not Dan Marino as a rookie. And Lee, they're getting killed in the flats, the little short passes. They're not getting beat deep, the Bucs necessarily. And Lee, is that the Todd Bowles umbrella defense? No, don't get beat deep, but give up 30 completions a game. I mean, is that really gonna hold water, Lee, throughout the season?
It's flashbacks to the Smiths, only this time they've got a pass rush.
You know, that bothered me a little bit Sunday night with the pass rush. You know, I was, you know, trying to give the secondary a break, saying, well, you know, they haven't had consistent pressure, and any secondary is not going to look that good. But the guy was under duress for much of the evening, and they're still giving up 73% completions. They got to tighten up the coverage. I know there's injuries, but Steve, every team's got injuries, and Arians doesn't want to use injuries as an excuse. And I'm right there with Arians.
I feel you. You know, the next couple of weeks will tell a lot. No matter how you slice it up, it's got to end. This ridiculously high completion percentage, and Mac Jones may never throw 19 consecutive completions again in his whole life. So, especially with a wet ball and all that, it just was, they have to find a way. And on the flip side, I know you danced around it before. I know you guys don't want to have a slugfest again. But Ira, you think the run game is for real? Did they solve some things? Do you think they fixed some things? Is it something now they can feel like they can rely on and use as a weapon versus just as a bad rest for Tom Brady, that they can actually move the chains here? Arians said he loved Rojo's touchdown run. He beat a couple of guys, and it was just blocked up so well. And, you know, Leonard Fournette found some seams and didn't seem to have any issues with his footing and was pretty powerful. You know, it looked pretty balanced between the two of those guys. You know, they both seem to run very well and were effective.
Lee, one game does not make a trend. Not one game. Fournette ran with power. Fournette ran with abandon. He ran with purpose. The holes were better. Nice touchdown run by Rojo. But I'm not convinced they've solved their woes. Come back to me in a couple of weeks, Lee, if they see if they trample the Dolphins and the Eagles. But for one night, the run game looked much better, and it came just in time because Brady's not going to have too many games like that, Lee. He looked kind of ordinary. You might say Mac Jones outperformed him, all things considered. Mac Jones didn't have the benefit of a running game. Mac Jones had less protection than Brady. So, Lee, you can make that argument. The run game was perfectly timed, but I'm not convinced that they're over their woes in that regard yet.
Yeah, I agree with you, Ira. Let's see a couple games. I think you wrote this. Didn't you say it looks like Fournette's got to step up as far as the pecking order of running backs? He's probably number one right now?
Yeah, you would think so, Lee. Yes, you would think so.
Yes, I mean, it's not to say they're going to bench Rojo in the sense that he's not going to get touches. He's going to get touches. But right now it looks like at least the guy's going to break huddle in the first play of the game for the offense is going to be Fournette.
You know, Steve, a couple of weeks ago, out of nowhere, Arians announced that Rojo was going to be the starting back, and I think he did it deliberately to show that they had a little confidence in the guy. Steve, I wouldn't say he's in the doghouse, Rojo, but he's sniffing around the doghouse, and he better watch his step. One more fumble, he's going to be in a lot of trouble. Now, he had a nice touchdown run, but in my mind, clearly, Fournette's ahead of him right now.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic because, I mean, Rojo, if you buy into some of the way that they've tried to, you know, pump him up, and like you said, they made the big announcement on a Wednesday that Rojo's the starter and there was no reason to do that, and we know what's happened in past years. You would think Arians doesn't want to put him in the doghouse because he's not sort of a doghouse guy that might be able to handle it. But the carries tell the story, and Rojo knows that, hey, I went from 1,000 yards to a guy who's getting 6 carries a game, which is what he had the other night. And may I say the over-under on his total carries was 6.5, so I wasn't very happy about that. But the Rojo, they got to keep him just on the outside of the doghouse, just maybe sniffing the bone that's outside there, not put him in there.
Just when you're getting sucked in to believe in Rojo, you know, he makes a few nice plays. Just when you're getting sucked in and you think he's the guy, that he ought to be starting, that he's the go-to running back, he does something stupid, whether it's missing a block or stepping out of, walking out of bounds, not stepping out of bounds, walking out of bounds, or does something dumb. And he gets in, I don't know, he gets in the doghouse, he gets in the front of it, Aaron's doghouse, put it that way. Just when you get sucked in thinking he's the guy, boom, he pulls a dumb move. Is that a wrong observation?
I think it's a pretty good one, Lee. At least that's been the history. He gets revved up, and last year it wasn't a bonehead. He missed a few games. That's all it took.
Yeah.
He missed a few games. That's all it took. That wasn't a bonehead mistake. But sometimes his mistakes seem like they're magnified. You know, they're there for everybody to see. The missed block on Deion Jones and the fumbles, it really puts him in a negative spotlight. It's quite a balancing act, like Steve mentioned, because he's not a guy that you want really to worry about his job security. Like, that's going to push him. You know, I think you're more worried that he's going to check out. We shall see. But, hey, right now Fournette's the man, and I love the way he played the other night. What do you think of Ndamukong Suh? You think... You can't jump on him too much, Lee, because his main job's to stuff the run, and they've been spectacular. I'll throw this out at you. I know this sounds crazy, but guys, is Bowles putting too much emphasis on stopping the run and making them more vulnerable to the pass? Should he loosen up a little bit and focus more on the pass? Because I think the reputation is you can't run on the Bucs, so teams don't even try. Maybe you can tweak the defense more geared towards stopping the pass.
It's not a bad idea, and you've mentioned that several times in the past, Ira, that you know, we're in the passing league, and that's great to be able to stop the run, but are you kind of you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul, so to speak? You're putting too much emphasis on an element of the game that doesn't have as much emphasis as it did 20, 30 years ago. You mentioned that a few times. I don't think you're wrong at that, but Aaron's just been asked about that more than once. I believe Bulls as well, and their contention is we want to turn the other team into a one-dimensional team. And they're doing that, but unfortunately they're getting lit up by doing that.
Well, I think on that note, it's going to tell a big story the next 2 weeks, because you got Jacoby Brissett, who lit up the Bucks 2 years ago and in a 38-35 loss, you know, aided a little bit by Jameis Winston throwing multiple interceptions. But and then you got Jalen Hurts, and you know, the Bucks are going to want to clamp down on that run the next 2 weeks and make those guys, those lesser quarterbacks, beat you. But it is something to look for, and I think it's too early on Sue. And just to Lee's premise of, you know, Rojo has a few good games, then he does something stupid to throw you back. It reminded me of you a little bit, Ira, when, you know, you have a good month of columns, and people think you're the next Peter King. They think you're Derek Paul Z, and then you throw out a wacky take, and you set it all back.
I try to keep my readers on my toes, gentlemen. That's what it's all about. But we're going to have another podcast, Steve. We don't know. It'll be later this week, and it'll be a doozy, because one of the three of us has to pick the Dolphins. Good luck, Lee. I think I'm nominating the Kemper for that assignment, but it should be interesting.
What I'm about to tell you reminded me of Steve Grumman. I swear on a stack of Bibles, I thought this was coming out of Steve Grumman's mouth. I thought the big dog had resurrected from the ground when I heard this. And it was coming from Michael Lombardi. And Michael Lombardi, you know, he's involved with the Vegas scene now, and the gambling scene. This is when Tua got hurt for the Dolphins. And the Dolphins had announced, I guess, on a Monday or Wednesday that Tua was on the shelf and they're going to start Brissett. And Michael Lombardi, who's no fan of Tua, he thinks Tua is terrible. He said, after the 3 days after the Dolphins announced that Tua was benched, he was on the shelf because of his injury, and they were starting Brissett. Whoever they were playing that week, I can't remember, but whoever they were playing, Lombardi pointed out 3 days after the announcement, the spread never changed. And he said, what should that tell the Dolphins about their starting quarterback? If their starting quarterback's hurt, and they announce he's hurt, and the line never changes. Tell me that's not doomy talk.
Great point, Lee. It's at least a 3 or 4 point spread for any other team that goes to a backup. And you're right. That tells you all you need to know about what the odds makers think of Tua.
But that was actually a story a few years ago when Ryan Fitzpatrick came in for Jameis and they went vice versa. The line didn't move. The Vegas didn't recognize Jameis as a difference from Fitzpatrick. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict. Subscribe to The Sage. Leave a review. You can hit just a 5-star, 4-star, type something out, whatever you want. But we will be back, of course, episode 2 of this week. Bill Curry Ford presents the podcast, BillCurryFord.com. Drink your Big Storm beer. And if you've got a problem in your home, any kind of disaster, Florida's ElitereStoration.com. That's your first stop 24/7. They're there for you. Just like Ira on Twitter, @iKaufman76.